At Daleville Christian Church, our experience is that it is good for you to know what you believe and to claim what it is that you believe. And so each worship service, we claim our faith, we affirm our faith. The affirmations of faith are taken from God's Word. Today's affirmation of faith from 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 24th and 25th verses. Christ bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. For we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. Today's reading from the Word of God is from Luke's Gospel in the 7th chapter, the 11th through the 17th verses. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today's message is inspired by a film, a movie based on a book, which is based on a real event, a true story. The book and the film are entitled Miracles from Heaven. The story is about sickness, a disease for which there is no cure, and therefore a disease for which there is no treatment to provide a cure. All that can be done is called symptom management. You're not going to get better, you're just going to feel a little better than you would if you did nothing at all about your disease symptoms. And this sickness happened to a little girl. The book was written by the little girl's mother. The little girl's mother taught her children about Jesus, and Jesus also shows up in the book because the sick little girl believes that she went to heaven and spoke with Jesus. But the little girl was told that she couldn't stay in heaven, but was told she had to go back to earth. The book was written by the little girl's mother. Her name is Christy Beam. The book is entitled Miracles from Heaven. The movie has the same title, Miracles from Heaven, and I recommend both the book and the movie. The movie is good, in my opinion, and the book is even better. I should probably mention first that Anna Beam, the little girl, was 4 years old when she first had symptoms of her illness. Anna Beam, one of three girls at the Beam household in Texas, and Anna was the youngest. Anna was just 4 years old when she first began to have symptoms for her, at that time, undiagnosed illness. Anna had stomach aches. Anna began to have symptoms at age 4. Anna had a lot of pain. Anna had surgery at the age of 6. After the initial surgery, Anna was in the hospital 3 weeks. The surgery was also painful, and I remind you, the surgery would not cure Anna's condition. It was after the surgery that the family learned Anna's diagnosis. Anna Beam had pseudo-obstruction motility disorder. It is rare. This disorder prevents the intestines from taking any nutrition from anything a person eats. It often is paired with enteral hypomotility disorder, which means that the stomach is paralyzed. That means that no matter what you put in your stomach will not respond. It will just swell up and hurt more. So children usually don't want to eat because eating causes pain. What usually winds up happening is that a patient is fed liquid nutrition through a gastric tube directly into the system. Other possibilities include removal of part of the intestine, a surgical bypass of the stomach, or a colostomy with colostomy bag, and even small bowel transplants can be considered, although each case is a little different. One thing all the doctors say to patients and their families, all the doctors say, this, there is no cure. There were no statistics for any kind of treatment anyone would call successful. There was no one who recovered from the illness. There was no one who got well or ever lived a life free of pain and treatment who received this diagnosis. Anna, age 6, was in the hospital 3 weeks after surgery. 6 weeks later, Anna was back in the hospital. She continued to be in pain and to have a distended stomach. Only one day after that did she feel like going outside to swing in the swing, and that didn't last long. Little Anna came back in stating that she didn't feel good, having trouble breathing. The family began searching for anyone, any doctor who could help. By the time Anna was back in the hospital, she was taking 8 medications, each of them with their own set of side effects. There's a high likelihood that all the medications were affecting Anna's body, like making the bones brittle. Another trip to another hospital revealed that Anna's ribs were healing from a bone break. But children with broken bones have their parents reported to Child Protective Services, and that is what happened. Rather than finding any help, Anna's family would be investigated. That was dropped quickly, but as sick as Anna was, Christy Beam figured that accusations of child abuse were the least of her problems, hers and Anna's. Anna saw Dallas, Texas specialists every week or so for a month. They confirmed what the family already knew. Anna had pseudo-obstruction motility disorder. The specialist in Dallas could only offer, "This is likely to get worse. It's a very difficult way of life for children with this disorder." The one medication that had once been available for Anna's condition had been taken off the market because of side effects. Again, I remind you, the medication doesn't cure, the medication manages symptoms. There was a doctor in Boston who was a specialist in Anna's illness, and he taught at Harvard Medical School, and he could prescribe this medication. If I'm recalling correctly from the book, there were 8 doctors in the United States who could prescribe this medication. It took months to get an appointment. When they got to see the specialist, Dr. Nurko, the specialist stated the situation very clearly to Anna and the family. "You have this condition in which the muscles in the GI tract do not work, and when that happens, when you take food by mouth, the food doesn't go anywhere and you cannot absorb it. And as all of you know, when you cannot eat and get nutrition, you cannot survive." Dr. Nurko was going to recommend treatments of Sisapride. That was the name of the medication that he, among a few in the nation, could prescribe. Despite the possible side effects of Sisapride, the medicine should provide a better quality of life for Anna, like eating, even going to school, having lunch there, maybe a few bites of birthday cake, a tiny taste of normal. Christy Beam wrote, "I love seeing the bumper stickers that celebrate things like my child goes to Texas A&M, you know, because they live in Texas, or my kid is a fighting Bronco, or my grandchild is on the honor roll. But there is no bumper sticker that says, my kid is living a relatively normal life a lot of the time." But Christy Beam wrote, "There ought to be a bumper sticker like that." In the next 3 years, Anna, with her mom, made 20 trips to Boston from Texas. They went about every 4 to 6 weeks. Usually it was an overnight trip, but sometimes Anna's condition was unstable enough that she had to be admitted to the hospital in Boston. All of Anna Beam's medications are listed in the book, and I considered reading them all to you, but it would take 5 minutes and the list wouldn't mean anything to you. But here is what some of the medications were supposed to do for Anna Beam. One medication was to prevent convulsions. There were antibiotics to prevent infections and an inactive bowel, medicine to reduce swelling, and pain relievers. Now, I mentioned that the Beam family were churchgoers. Both Christy, the mom, and her husband, Kevin, both had strong church backgrounds. Christy and Kevin's parents were still parts of their church families. I only mention as an aside that somewhere along the way, Christy Beam became clinically depressed. It seemed to come out of nowhere, and Christy Beam did everything for her clinical depression that you are supposed to do. Counseling, medication, and keep going. Christy states two things. One, she knows that many people suffer with depression. She states that she knew she wasn't alone, and she tells the readers, "You are not alone either." Christy isn't sure why the depression and anxiety happened to her, but concluded that perhaps it prepared her for Anna's illness and everything that would have to be done to help Anna. Now, you folks have been a part of church long enough to know that not everyone in church knows the right things to say to people who are sick. People who are chronically sick with diseases that have no cure and apparently have no cause. Church people often say what they think the Bible says. And so they say, "If your faith is strong enough, she'll be healed." If you've read the Bible, you might recall that the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say, "If your faith is strong enough, you'll be healed." As a matter of fact, I'll take next week to talk about the whole topic. Near the end of the sermon, I will remind you exactly what our Jesus does say. But this is what Christy Beam says to those statements. "If your faith is strong enough, she'll be healed." Christy states, "If I've heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times. When someone says that to you, they're not asking you to put faith in the power of God. They're asking you to put faith in the power of your own faith. What people who say that are saying is that God's healing depends on your faith. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus made it clear that healing comes from God, not from your faith. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in the power of your faith. Have faith in God." Having said that, I would mention that words we use for getting well just don't appear in the Bible. The word cure is not the usual translation in the Bible. It shows up 6 times in our Pew Bible and New International Version. The preferred translation is healed. And one of the reasons for that is that the word cure has to do with treatment. Jesus never treated people for illness. Jesus healed them. There is a difference. You and I have followed a doctor's treatment for our illnesses. Jesus healed at his touch or at his word. There was never "take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning" moment from Jesus. Jesus gave instructions sometimes for healing, but the healing was immediate upon the instructions. One formerly blind man said, John chapter 9, verse 11, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." By the way, does it say there in John chapter 9 that the formerly blind man's faith was strong enough? No, it doesn't. So what happened to Anna Beam? Two things, or maybe we should say 3 things, happened to Anna Beam. Anna had been in treatment for 5 years, traveling to Boston from Texas every 4 to 6 weeks. One day at home in Texas, Anna was playing outside with her sisters, and Anna, with one sister, went up to an old cottonwood tree in their yard. They'd climbed it many times before. a limb they were both sitting on started to break, and Anna's older sister told her younger sister to leave the branch immediately and get in the hollow of the tree. Anna did what she was told, but in getting into the hollow, discovered that the entire tree was indeed entirely hollow. Anna fell and landed on her head inside the hollow tree. When the fire department were able to get Anna out of the tree, she was awake and breathing. At the emergency room, the ER doctor said, "Jesus was with this kid today. I've never seen anyone fall headfirst from that height without serious spinal and head injuries." Anna was knocked unconscious inside the tree, and it was during this time that Anna Beam states that she went to heaven and spoke with our Lord Jesus. How did Anna know that she was in heaven? Anna says she saw her deceased grandmother. Anna says she almost didn't recognize her grandmother because she looked younger than when she last saw her grandmother alive. But I, your pastor, appreciated this moment that Anna mentioned in heaven. Anna asked Jesus if she could see the creatures. What creatures, you might ask? Well, the creatures of the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. I'll read it to you. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. They were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Anna Beam asked Jesus if she could see the creatures. And Anna Beam states that Jesus told her, "No, Anna, you cannot see the creatures." Anna said to her mother, "Mommy, he told me no." Christy Beam states her daughter seemed unpleasantly surprised by this, that her first simple request in heaven would be turned down. But Jesus went on to say to Anna, "You have to go back, Anna. It's not your time." Anna said, "But I don't want to. I don't want to go back." Remember, this child's had 5 years of pain. Jesus said, "I know you don't want to go. But I have plans for you to complete on earth that you can't complete if you're in heaven." And then Jesus said, "It's time for you to go, Annabelle. The firemen are going to get you out. And when they do, Anna, you will be fine. There'll be nothing wrong with you. My Holy Spirit will be with you. Don't be afraid. I'm sending my guardian angel to be with you." Anna states that it was then she began to hear the fireman's voice calling to her inside the tree. Kevin Beam, Anna's dad and Christy's husband, later stated to Christy that the situation in the tree could have been even worse than it potentially was. The EMT said that Anna hit the ground skull first. But there were no animals inside that hollow tree, no beehive, no bats, no fire ants, no scorpions, no snakes, no poisonous spiders. And what if Anna had fallen in and no one had seen her fall in? Who would know to look for a missing child inside a tree? Christy stated she would rather just like to think that Jesus was with Anna the whole time. The next day, after a night in the hospital, Anna still showed no signs of trauma, no broken bones, no head injury, no concussion after her fall inside the tree. There was no medical reason to keep Anna at the hospital, so Anna got to go home. It didn't take long before Anna's parents also noticed that Anna's belly was no longer swollen from her illness. Anna stopped asking to take her pain meds. Anna began to eat food she had given up years before. Anna showed no symptoms of her illness. Anna and Christy stopped going regularly to Boston. Christy admitted that when Anna told her that Jesus had told Anna, "Anna, you will be fine, there will be nothing wrong with you," Christy assumed that Jesus meant that Anna would be fine from the fall in the tree, that she wouldn't be injured, as was indeed the case. After 5 years with an incurable illness, it's difficult for a parent to believe that their child might be healed of an incurable illness after a miraculous fall with no injury. But it slowly dawned on the Beams what was obvious. Anna Beam was healed. Anna Beam, years before, had been diagnosed with antral hypomotility disorder and pseudo-obstruction motility disorder. Anna Beam had been a textbook case, and through years of treatment and hospitalizations, the diagnosis never changed. Anna Beam's doctors had told Anna's parents more than once, "No one is ever cured of these disorders." And the doctors remain doctors. They know that they did not cure Anna, and they discouraged the Beams from using the word cure. But as I explained earlier, the word cure implies a treatment. The doctors treated Anna, but they know that no one is cured of Anna's condition. I would say what the Beams might say: Anna was healed. Hear what Kevin Beam himself had to say about their situation. "We've been in the exact same seat where you're sitting right now. I've been in a lot of pain. Times can be challenging and very rough, and some of you may be in that place today. I've been in the congregation and listened to the same songs and hymns when my family members were in Boston in a children's hospital while I was here trying to take care of the other two. We've been through hard times, and we probably will have others. Certainly you have also. The thing I have found is that the faithfulness of God has been what I can count on and rest assured upon." Friends, the Beam family did not have a crisis of faith. The Beam family did not need to have more faith. But the Beam family did have faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anna Beam said, "God is always there, and He has His own ways of working things out." I remind you what our Lord Jesus did say when a man named Jairus just learned that his sick daughter had died. Jesus turned to Jairus and said, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." Jairus' friends had just told Jairus to leave Jesus alone. There was no point, there was no use in bothering Jesus anymore. Jairus' daughter was dead. Jesus turned to Jairus and said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be saved. It's the same word. Friends, there may be no cure. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Our Lord is always there. Amen.